A new report says emergency services are struggling across New York, and they need more help from the state. We'll hear from ambulance services in two North Country counties, Jefferson and Warren, about problems with staffing and costs. That's on this edition of Story of the Day.
Support for Story of the Day comes from Claxton Hepburn Medical Center, dedicated to providing patient care and regional services to the people of St. Lawrence County. ClaxtonHepburn.org.
Hi, I'm Lucy Grindin. It's Thursday, April 4th. First, some news. Lake George's town supervisor died on Wednesday, April 3rd. Dennis Dickinson was in the position since 2012 and was re-elected last fall. Dickinson also served as town supervisor from 1979 to 1982. According to a news release from Warren County, Dickinson was crucial to many discussions about issues in the community over the years. He served on the town's tourism and occupancy tax committees. He was involved in several environmental initiatives to protect Lake George, including a boat inspection program and the reduction of road salt in the Lake George Basin. The town will determine Dickinson's successor. The zoo in Watertown has been struggling to stay open for a while. This week, the Watertown City Council narrowly approved more funding, an infusion of $100,000 to keep Zoo New York running. The council says it's a temporary fix while they study the issue more. Residents and those in neighboring communities turned up at a meeting to support the zoo, saying it's an important place for locals and tourists. But some think it's time to focus the city's limited funds on more serious issues. Mayor Sarah Campo Pierce voted against giving the zoo the funds. She says it's not about whether the zoo is wanted. It's about what the city needs.
I don't know that I see a situation where the city is going to be able to take care of its essential needs, address our water quality issue, address the hydro cliff that's coming, and continue to fund the zoo, because I know that that's what the zoo needs, is they need a commitment of funding year after year.
Campo Pierce says she recognizes the need for a space like the zoo, but she wants to start reimagining what that could be. The City Council's Zoo Task Force will meet again soon to discuss what they need to look at to figure out this problem. The zoo says it's hoping to open for the season on May 4th. Emergency medical services have been struggling across the country and New York State for years now, especially since 2020 with the onset of the COVID-19 pandemic. Now, a new and fairly dire report from the state controller says EMS agencies are struggling with staffing and costs, and that they need more help from the state. Amy Feiereisel has more.
Imagine you or a loved one is having a heart attack in a rural area of New York State, and you call for an ambulance, but you're not sure one will come. That's what was happening back in 2009 in three small towns in Jefferson County, Teresa, Antwerp, and Philadelphia. They had volunteer ambulances run by their fire departments, but they were understaffed and missing a lot of calls.
One of the towns missed 95% of their calls the last year that they existed. One of the towns missed 50% of their calls the last year they existed.
That's Lance Ronis. He grew up in Philadelphia.
What had happened is my mother, who had lived in Philadelphia all of her life, called the ambulance, and her ambulance never showed up.
That's what prompted Ronis to start Indian River Ambulance Service, a nonprofit corporation dedicated to running EMS in the area. It has a mixed model with 6 employees and about 24 active volunteers. Ronis says they've never missed a call, but still struggle with volunteerism, making ends meet, and being able to pay their staff enough. These were some of the main points in a new state report released last week by New York's controller, Thomas DiNapoli. The report finds that the cost of operating rescue squads has increased by 60% since 2012, forcing many EMS agencies to subsidize the cost of ambulance rides. A big part of that is that they have to bill insurance companies for their services, and Ronis says the Medicare and Medicaid reimbursement rate is inadequate.
It costs us about $550 to run a single call. If we go out for a Medicare patient, we might get $350.
He says Medicaid pays even less than that.
So if we go to a Medicaid or a Medicare, which are our two biggest payers, we lose money.
At the same time, the state audit shows that the number of active EMS workers in New York has fallen dramatically, from about 40,000 in 2019 to 33,000 in 2022. Rona says you can blame COVID for that, declining volunteerism. But there's a bigger issue, which is that in the modern world, it's very difficult to make a career out of EMS. People aren't paid enough. $17 or $18 per hour is the current going rate.
What we were giving as the starting wage here is now not even competitive with the local steward shop. It's not competitive with working at Starbucks. It's not competitive with working at, you know, at Dollar General. You know what I mean? In all of EMS, we have to raise our minimum starting wage. We can't afford to do that.
The reason they can't afford to pay them more is because EMS services are not required or mandated by New York State.
You know, fire protection is mandated by the state. Law enforcement is mandated by the state.
Simon Gardner is a paramedic. He works for four different EMS agencies in Warren and Saratoga counties.
Garbage collection is mandated by the state. It's a sanitation thing. EMS is not mandated by the state.
As a result, New York has a patchwork at-will system of emergency medical services with about 1,000 agencies, half of them volunteer-led, providing ambulance service. Gardner says someone has to figure out this question.
Is EMS public safety or is EMS healthcare?
Because right now, it's neither. Agencies make money by billing insurance companies and towns, through tax districts, through fundraisers. Gardner says that means chronic staffing issues.
And that seems to be kind of a recurring theme at a lot of the places I work. You know, anytime somebody gets sick or goes out, you know, there'll be a hole in the schedule. And you know, the administrators are kind of scrambling, looking for people. Oh, we got to cover this shift or that. You know, this person's out, blah, blah, blah. A lot of agencies don't have a real deep roster.
Gardner says there's a huge incentive for EMTs to pursue a better paid career as a nurse or a physician's assistant. Lance Ronis in Jefferson County says something has got to change so people can make a living in EMS.
Without having to kill yourself by working two full-time jobs. We're chewing up a lot of our young people. As an industry, we're chewing up young people.
The state report says, quote, the stakes are too high and the issues too complex for counties and other local governments to have to address on their own, end quote. It calls for direct state involvement in EMS data collection and guidance. It also suggests leaning into a county-based model, which is already starting to happen somewhat organically. The report finds that as smaller agencies struggle or even close, counties have been taking on a larger role in emergency services. Rona says he's all for a county model.
There's a lot of merit to the concept of a county-based system that is funded by the state that allows the independent agencies to still function as an independent agency with their own bylaws.
In Ronis's dream scenario, EMS would be an essential service like the police and trash collection, funded by taxes. Now, to be clear, the state report does not talk about funding EMS. But Ronis says the recognition that more state help is needed might be a first step in that direction. And he says the stakes really couldn't be higher.
Your mom, your dad, your husband, your wife, your kid, you know, your child, you know, that's what's at stake.
Ronis says that if EMS services disappear, especially in rural areas, that can be the difference between waiting 10 minutes or an hour for an ambulance to arrive. Amy Feiereisel, North Country Public Radio.
There's more news all the time at ncpr.org. Music today by I Am Snow Angel and Caitlin Scholl, both from Lake Placid. I'm Lucy Grindin, North Country Public Radio.